Good to see everybody here. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm a firm believer that as a church, this is a place that we could all have fun, am I right? Enjoy each other's company and appreciate one another. I want to say a special thank you to the kindness you showed to our family and our staff with the Christmas offering you gave us. We really, really appreciate it. And we've felt a lot of love this last few months being here, and we've had a great time. Getting to know our youth and seeing students come out and giving their heart to Jesus. And we're excited about Youth Alpha. Yeah, please be praying for Youth Alpha as we try to reach more students in the Comox Valley. That's our heart. And some of you maybe have no clue what's been going on here with our youth ministry and our preteens. We've got Boys Club going on Tuesday. Crazy numbers. Like, we need more help. So if you're interested in helping out with our Boys Club, our Girls Club goes on Wednesday after schools. And on Thursday, we run our Elevate Ministry. And it's kind of cool because we've seen our ministries actually grow. December, we hit over 70 students between our preteens and youth. So please be praying for our leaders. I've got a great group of leaders. We've got nine that are helping out on a weekly basis. So I'm so appreciative of all our leaders. And we just expect great things in 2018 for our youth ministry. Well, I want to say I'm excited about being able to speak. One of the two best Sundays to preach that I've been told are the last week of the year and the first week of the year. There's a lot of excitement, anticipation. This is the first Sunday of 2018. It's the start of a new year that is full of possibility and opportunity. We've got 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, and 31,000,000, I'm going to lose my breath here, 536,000 seconds. Who's excited? What will you do with all this time? What will you do with all these seconds, these minutes, these hours, these days, these weeks, these months? How can we make it count? And today I'm going to be speaking on five resolutions we should make in 2018. This is the time of year to make resolutions. You notice on Facebook, all right? Who's on Facebook? Actually, we should ask who's not on Facebook. Are you serious, Calvin? All right. I thought you'd have like Facebook, Twitter, and all those good things. On Facebook, you notice on people's social medias of pictures of like salad. All right? Like, who puts salad on their like profile picture? Like, that's weird. Or like working out, like you noticed on Aaron Thompson's social media, he put that he worked out. Like, I've never seen that before from him. Maybe that was like before I moved here, maybe he did. This is the time of year to make resolutions, and the dictionary defines resolution as a course of action decided upon a fixed purpose. By show of hands, how many of you have made at least one New Year's resolution? Put up your hand. Oh boy, okay, that needs to change today. How many of you have decided not to make a New Year's resolution because you didn't follow last year's? Or the previous year? Okay, show of hands. All right. I'm going to nerdify myself a little bit here. I use words that I make up, all right? So don't go in the dictionary and look for the word nerdify because it's not there. For years, I made I made a resolution that I would quit playing video games, or that I would not play video games as much. And for about 6 years, I tried for a little bit. I tried for like a day. And that's something that I really enjoyed. And if you asked my wife what her resolution would be that my resolution would be that I would stop playing video games or play very little of them. And that's something I noticed in my life that I was spending a lot of time doing, and please respect me still, okay? I'm being honest here. And we all have things that we spend too much time doing, right? It could be maybe you're a workaholic. Maybe you spend too much time watching TV or on your iPhone. Do I hear amen? And I have to say, it took me about 6 months last year, and I kind of stopped playing video games. And I can play a very little amount, and that's okay with me. It's never too late to try, okay? To try. I'm more aware, I'm thinking more about my family, I'm more in the present for my wife. If you're thinking, man, that guy is like a trophy husband. I'm not. I'm a work in progress. Many people make resolutions and forget to keep them. We're going to be talking about forgetting in a little bit, all right? The average top 10 resolutions are going to be on the screen there. Thanks to these young two lads up there for doing that ministry of PowerPoint. And the average top resolution is to spend more time with family, all right? It is suggested that 50% of people will vow to appreciate loved ones and spend more time with family and friends this year. Maybe some of you have decided over the Christmas break you want to spend less time with your family. I hope that's not you. And with your spouse's family, keep them in-laws, not outlaws. Do I hear amen? Give a nudge to your spouse and say, hey, listen to that. Number two, fitness. Become more healthy. Regular exercise has been associated with more health benefits than anything else. Studies show that it reduces the risk of some cancers, increases longevity, helps achieve and maintain weight loss, enhances mood, lowers blood pressure, and even improves arthritis. Good job, Aaron. Number three, I'm not going to point at Aaron with this one, but quit smoking. All right? Quit smoking. Number four, enjoy life more. It's an important step to be healthy and happier you. People like being around happy people. Am I right? There's a lot of happy people here I'm really happy about. I like being around you guys. There's a lot of great people here. Start a new hobby. Maybe go skiing. They said if you're tired of the fog, go up to the mountain. Then you don't see fog. Am I right? Girls, go to the spa. Go to a theater performance. Kim just went to, what's the show that you just watched? Anna Green Gables. There's a lot of talented people here in the Comox Valley. Go support them, right? Number five, quit drinking. Number six, get out of debt. Maybe stop going to Starbucks every day. Imagine the money you'd save. You'd save thousands per week. Number seven, learn something new. Some will decide to make a career change. Don't worry. I'm not changing after 4 months, all right? Want to learn a new language. Maybe fix a computer like Joel over there. Maybe take a course, a local college, at a university, or a local college. Read books. That's one of mine. I want to try to read more books in 2018. Number eight, help others. These are all good things. Volunteerism. Our church is always looking. Soup kitchen, Salvation Army, coach school sports, mentor, big brother, tutoring, teaching piano. We've got this young adult that I've been spending a lot of time with. And he's like, hey, like, your kids are learning bass and guitar. Do you mind if I, like, Like, I wouldn't mind coming and teaching your kids how to play their instruments better. Like, that's awesome. Like, a lot of us have skills and abilities that we could help other people, am I right? And number nine, get organized. Our home and office could be organized better. And if you've been to my office, you can agree with that. I'm thankful for a wife that keeps our house organized. If it was me, it would be like mayhem. There would be like hockey pitchers all over and stuff like that. But my favorite, and Pastor Joel would agree, is the next one. To become as wonderful a person as my dog thinks I am. Now, if I had a dog, I think my dog would think I'd be a pretty special guy, I would hope. Speaking of forgetting, all right, there's two old men sitting on a park bench. Of course, this story has to do with men, sorry. One of the men said, "You know, as I get older, I can't remember the things the way I used to." The other man said, "I used to have that problem too until I took this memory course. It's a very simple technique based on associating words with names, places, and events. Now, because of that, I don't have trouble remembering anything at all." The other man said, "Really? What was the name of that course?" The old man got a puzzled look, turned white as a sheet, scratched his head, and asked, "What's that flower that's like white, red, red, white, red?" And the other man said, "A rose?" The other man replied, "Yes, thank you." So the man leaned over to his wife and said, "Rose, what's the name of that memory course I took?" Today I want to share with you five resolutions that you should keep in 2018. Number one's from Paul. Look forward. Everybody say, look forward. Philippians 3:13b says, "Forget the past, look ahead. Forgetting past wrongs that paralyze you with that guilt and despair." Paul definitely had some of these. As a persecutor of the church, he had a lot of things that he wanted to leave behind. He also didn't want to dwell on how far he had come from where he was, because this might make him want to be content with where he was at the present time. To be too satisfied with his relationship with God. We should never be content with our relationship with God. We should always strive to know him more and more. Am I right? He realized he still had a long way to go if he wanted to know Jesus fully. Forgetting didn't mean obliterating the memory of the past, but a conscious refusal to let those memories absorb his attention and impede his progress. In the lower part of South Carolina, there's a very poisonous snake. I was going to say steak. I had steak last night. It was good. There's a very poisonous snake called the corral snake. Its venom is very potent and very deadly. However, the people who live in the area rarely die from the bite because they know a secret to shake it off. All right? You see, while the venom is very deadly, the corral snake has no fangs with which to inject it like a rattler. Instead, it has to bite its victim and hang on while working its jaws back and forth like a scissor in order to penetrate the skin. If the would-be victim is knowledgeable, they will simply shake the snake off before he can inject the poison. So the greatest danger is not being bitten, but allowing the snake to hang on. And that's how it is with sin. Often the greatest danger of sin is not the immediate consequences, but the long-term effects of allowing sin to hang on. And I don't want to diminish the severity of sin, but the greatest damage caused by sin is done by unconfessed, unrepentant, and guilt that causes sin. Guilt is like shackles that keep you in prison, that keep you experiencing the love, the joy, the happiness that God desires you to have. Do I hear amen? He wants us to have the joy because you know what? We've got the greatest gift that's ever happened. We've got Jesus in our life. Shouldn't we be the happiest people in the world? And I'm not saying as Christians, like we still have troubles, right? We still have troubles, but the beauty of us having troubles is that we have somebody to go to. A male man got a new root. On the first porch he came to, he was confronted by a ferocious-looking German shepherd, poised to jump. The mailman approached the mailbox, and the dog sprang straight up 5 feet and landed in the same place. The mailman was relieved to see the dog keep his distance. He asked the owner who came to the door, why did he jump straight up like that? The reply was, we took the chains off yesterday, but he has not realized it yet. It was good for the mailman. I've been bit by a German shepherd, and it hurt a lot. But it's bad for us. Our chains still hold us captive. Some of you have actually been held captive for years. Maybe your hearts have felt heavy for years. Do you know that God's in the grace business? In 2018, let's start in the right way, that we will have no chains in our lives that will keep us captive. Confess of your sin, repent of it. Don't carry the guilt and move on this year. Number two, we can learn from David. Look for help from the right place. Psalm 121:1 says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? And the greatest disservice we can do is look for answers in the wrong places. All of what we call magic performed by like David Copperfield, David Blaine, and other magicians is really a sleight of hand or in the art of misdirection. And getting you to look in one direction while you don't see what's happening in the other direction. One thing we have to realize is Satan is the greatest misdirector. He loves to get us to look in the wrong direction, especially when we are in need or in trouble. And Satan wants us to look to money, to sex, to power, to friends, to our savings, to our alliances, to our knowledge, to science, to ourself, because he knows that those aren't real sources of help. He knows that all those things will fail us. And he knows that if we were to look in the right direction, which is who? Then our life would be a whole lot better. The truth is that most of the times when we failed and we stumbled last year is when we're looking in the wrong direction. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself as well. That we need to be focused on Jesus this year. This resolve that this year, when I am in need, I will look unto God. I will pray. Tonight is a crucial night for our church. Tonight we're starting, we have a prayer summit to start 2018. Who's excited about our prayer summit? I'm excited about it. Sadly, in most places, most churches, prayer meetings are the least attended meetings in churches. Is that a good thing? Can we change that tonight? Can we change that tonight? Listen, church, we have a big year ahead. for Comox Pentecostal Church. We need to pray for this process for our new lead pastor. We need to pray for our search committee, our leadership team. We need to pray for the ministries of our church as we embark in having a new leader. Where does our help come from? Where does your help come from? This was the biggest lesson I learned in 2017, focusing and giving our worries to God. Asking God, okay, you have something else for me? Well, I actually had like a list of things, and God took care of all those lists for us, knowing that we want to remain in the center of his will. Some of you have big questions to ask God this year. Some of you have big concerns that lay heavy on your heart. Maybe something's not going on at home that's good. Maybe your spouses don't know Jesus. Maybe your kids have fallen away from God. Maybe there needs to be a reconciliation in your family. Maybe money's just so tight and you've got so much debt. Where does our help come from? In 2018, let's go to Jesus for our help. Number three, like Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 22, it says Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Who can say that? Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Enoch was only written about in a few times in the Bible. Could you imagine? You're only written about a little bit, and it said that Enoch walked with God. What would our legacy be? If you were written about in the Bible, what would it say about you? What would it say about us? You know, here's Enoch. He walked with God. What would that even look like? What are some examples of a person walking with God? Can I hear some? Like, what would that look like? Anybody? What would that entail? Prayer. What else? Reading. What else? Relationship. What was the other one? Thankfulness. Yeah. What else? Trust. Sorry? Listening. That's good. I need to do that more often. Obedience. Joy. Love. That's right. If you were an apple, don't be a crab apple, right? There's my dad joke for the day. Enoch walked with God as a child walks with his father, not dragging behind or running ahead, but in step with him saying, I belong to him, I belong to God, and God would say, he belongs to me. Enoch walked with God because he belonged to him and he loved him and revered him and trusted him. He wanted everyone to know whose side he was on. He wanted everyone to know that God was his father. His walk was a testimony, a witness to those around him who had different moral standards and values. How are your moral standards and values? Do they need work? He was not ashamed to let everyone know around him that he had a relationship with God. He didn't only walk with God when it was light out. He also did when it was dark, right? He walked with God in a way that everyone could see, whether they liked it or not. Does that resonate in your life? Does that resonate with something that we want to do, that we want to be that example wherever we go? Reading the Bible, prayer, confession, being with other believers, going to church, those are all important things. Christianity is an active, growing, living, daily relationship with the person, with God Himself. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. In the new year, let's work to make it more daily. Let's walk with Jesus daily. Who's with me? Number four, like Gideon, rely on God's strength, not our own. Advance even when our friends are few. And the Midianites were in control, and Israel called out to God for help. God called Gideon to lead the people, and Gideon was from the weakest clan and the least in his family. But he chose to respond despite his weakness. The army was assembled, and God told Gideon that he had too many men, right? 32,000 men. And he came up with the plan and said, whoever is afraid, go back home. 22,000 men left. That left 10,000 men. And God still said, that's too many men. I want them to know when they defeat this army, the Midianite army, that I want them to know it wasn't because of them, it was because of me. So they went down to the brook. A lot of us know this story. I spoke on this on a Sunday night a few months ago. And they went down to the brook and went to the water, and whoever took a drink, whoever put their head in the water, would be sent home. And whoever cupped it in their hands would stay. How many of you would, like, put your head right under the water? Only three of you, okay. Well, there was a lot who went home that day. It was 9,700 men. There were 300 left. Then God gave Gideon this plan that involved trumpets, torches, and clay jars. Not the greatest odds if you had me, or if you tell me. But this sent the Midianites in a frenzy, and they killed themselves. They killed each other. And Gideon was a great leader, not because of his ability, but because he relied on God and not his own strength. Today, are you relying on your own strength? Are you relying on God's strength? Usually, when we are faced with the decision on doing something or going somewhere, we make the decision based on the crowd. The truth is, in matters of righteousness and morality, the crowd is usually wrong. Teens here, we need to be leaders wherever we go. Don't follow the crowd. Young adults, kids, don't follow the crowd. Choose to suffer rejection of men for a while rather than the rejection of God for eternity. And my last point, like Andrew, tell your friends and family about Jesus. The first thing Andrew did, okay, this is from John 1:41-42, and I love these verses. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ." And he brought Simon to Jesus. We need to strive to bring our friends and family to Jesus this year. Are you praying for your friends and family, for your neighbors? Andrew went to his brother and brought him to Jesus. And I'm not going to split hairs with Cain's question, "Who is my brother?" Your brother could be your sister, your neighbor, your parents, your friends, the kids that you babysit. The list goes on. Your brother may be your literal brother, but it might not. Here's a question. Who came here because you were invited? Who came to church because you were invited? Anybody here? Invited by your parent, friend, neighbor. Anybody here? Just kind of put up your hand. How did you end up in church? You just go? We need to invite our friends and family to church, to our life groups, to our boys and girls groups. Youth, bring them to Elevate, especially during this time of Youth Alpha. Youth Alpha is a great time where kids can ask questions, where they can just be a part of a roundtable discussion, and you can just kind of like just say whatever's on your mind, and it's a great opportunity. Youth, bring your friends to that. We need to go intentionally speak to them about Jesus, about faith, and about spiritual things. You know, the common motto is actions speak louder than words. That's important, right? But we also need to make sure that we say words as well. We need to act like followers as well. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We need to pray for those on your heart today. I just want to take just a minute. I just want you to like maybe close your eyes, and I want you to think of somebody this year who you can intentionally talk to about your faith. Intentionally reach out to this year. Let's just have a quiet, just 30 seconds to a minute. And I want you to think of somebody who you can be a witness to this year. So we have our worship team can come up and you know, everything that we are involved in with other people is an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus. Do any of your goals in 2018 intentionally involve you with the lost of Comox Valley? Do any of your goals intentionally involve you to reach the lost of the Comox Valley? It could be joining a sports team. It could be like a men's league. It could be a women's league. Going on chaperones, on school trips with your kids, inviting a neighbor over for dessert. But it's rare for people to find Jesus on their own. And we need to go into the world and preach the gospel. Listen, church, we need to look forward. Don't look back. Look for help from the right place. Walk with God. Rely on God's strength, not your own. And tell your friends and family about your relationship with Jesus. The greatest thing about your testimony is it's your story. My story isn't the same as Pastor Dave's story. My story is by far not the same as Spencer's. Spencer's is by far different than Josiah up there. We need to share to people our story, our personal story, because they can't take that away. We need to live it out. And we need to be intentional in talking about our faith. We're just going to have just an opportunity. If you'd like to come up, you'd just like to spend a little bit of time with God. We've got a prayer team. If you'd like to receive prayer, I'd be willing to pray with you as well. But let's do this right this year. And come out tonight. Come out tonight to our prayer summit. I'm excited about it. Let's believe that God's going to do some amazing things in the Comox Valley. Through our church. Through us.
Can we just show our appreciation to this word from Pastor Trevor this morning? Good reminders, good words of encouragement for us for for 2018. Some good spiritual, godly, biblical resolutions that we can hold on to. And I want to just, it reminded me of a little story, something that actually happened in our household and something that I am very thankful for during the Christmas season. My wife had an old friend who they reconnected together on Facebook during the Christmas season. And this gal is, in some ways, could be like a hero to me because what she did was so important. Back in my wife's final year of high school, this friend who was a classmate of Barb was not a follower of Jesus at the time. She came from a family that would go to church maybe on Christmas or Easter. But this friend developed a friendship with Barb. And in her final year of high school, Karen began to have a conversation with Barb across the aisle around with the desks, like side by side kind of thing, and began to tell her about Jesus. And eventually, Barb went home, and through that relationship, through that friendship with a girl in high school in grade 12, she gave her heart to Christ. And then I came into the picture a month or two later. But I'm so thankful for that friend. And so if you're a student here today, or anybody, this friend took a risk and began to have a conversation with Barb that eventually led her to Christ. Like Andrew bringing his brother Simon to Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if we could all in 2018 see one person, even one person, come to Christ because of our involvement in their life and our willingness to take a risk. Maybe a coworker, students, a friend at school, whoever it might be. And we can overcome the fear. We can overcome the anxiety. You know, it had been a long time since Barb and her friend Karen had connected. I don't know, 20, 30 years or more, a long time. And they connected during Christmas. And I'm so thankful for this gal who led my wife to the Lord. How many are thankful for Karen who led Barb to Christ? Amen? We all benefit. I benefit. My family benefits because of that person who took a risk to talk to Barb about Jesus. And so can I just echo Pastor Trevor's words? Look for someone that you can take a risk with, even this week, to begin a conversation with them about Jesus. And who knows what God may do with it. Amen? As Trevor said, if you need prayer, feel free to come on up. And we'd love to just pray with you, help you overcome. And we pray that we'll see many of you tonight at 6 o'clock. Come even a couple of minutes early so we can get started right at 6 o'clock, all right? God bless you. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Amen.